I think I'll go ahead and start tonight. I wanted to do a review since the Providence lessons were so good. So I'm going to take a little bit of time tonight. We'll go back over some of the things we learned. We'll see how this works. This is my final test. Okay. Providence concepts, this was on page 5, and it was also at the beginning of his lesson. If we pronounce it providence, it helps us remember what it really is, God's providence. And I ask, what's the question for that? Well, it's would be a good way of remembering what providence is. So here's the question. So that's what a lot of times you work backwards on that. So you give you the answer and you come up with a question. It will help us understand the word providence better if we pronounce it God's providence. Okay. The ability of God to provide all of the necessities of his creation requires at least three things. God knows everything. Second, God has the power to do anything. And third, God is present where? Everywhere. So those three things, the ability of God to provide all necessities, takes those three in. Okay, next, in order to please God, we must have, what were the two things he kept saying over and over? And he actually talked about this at the end of lesson 2, I think. First word starts with F, and the second word starts with O. Right. He kept saying that over during the lessons. I'm guaranteeing you that was on their final test. It is a mistake to interpret good fortune as an evidence that one's life is acceptable to God. In other words, Dave and I were just talking about millionaires. If a person has $1 million, you know God is accepting them, right? They're a good person. No, that has nothing to do with it. So that wouldn't be correct that way. It is equally wrong, that's what we're saying, to assume that misfortune proves his disfavor. Somebody that loses their home, and it just may have been the circumstances, and they may be favorable to God, but those things happen. So it is a mistake to interpret good fortune as an evidence that one's life is acceptable to God. And that's true. The same way the other misfortune, you can't assume that. We start assuming things. Say that again, David.
It rains on the just and unjust.
That would be a good verse for that, right? Right. Okay, this has to do with views people have about providence. One of the views is deism, and that's general providence. That's where he talked about God just winds it all up and then just walked away from it. That's one belief that some people have. The second one's kind of the luck thing, that fatalism. It's just fate. It's just lucky. And that's another one that's wrong. And then that pantheism, if it's pronounced that way, everything is in creation is really God. And I've heard people make statements like that. Well, that's God right there in nature and things. And no. That's another opposing view. So these are three opposing views. So what would be the right one? This next thing, Word of God. That's the view we need to have. Okay, next. Creation itself was a miracle in that God created the universe and all that is in it. I think the last time we did this, Ernie got this one. I'll put him on the spot.
From nothing.
Right. him. Do you remember that from last time?
A little bit, but I just, that's how I heard
it. Yeah. That's good. I don't remember that those things that quick anymore either. Okay, the first one here is a true or false. Providence is God's attention concentrated everywhere. True. Right. Next one, you hear the answer to this, you hear people pray this sometimes. God providentially, got three words here, us in every situation of life. So what's the three words? Starts with G-U. Second word starts with G-U again. And the third one starts with K-E. But you can use synonyms for that. That's usually not, the third word's a little bit different. Anyone on that one? They tell you when you're teaching, do not answer it real quick. You're supposed to let them sit there about 5 seconds and get kind of uncomfortable before you answer it. So that's the research on that. So if you're teaching the kids, don't give them the answer real quick. Give them about 5 seconds. God providentially guide. What's the other word usually goes with it? Guide, guard, and protect. Here they wrote keep, a synonym. So those things. You do not have because you do not, this is scripture, ask, A-S-K. Yeah. Next one, God creating the world was purposeful. It was directed, it was meaningful, and it was also, what else? Our intelligent God, intelligent. So God creating the world was purposeful, directed, meaningful, and intelligent. The Bible tells us that performing of miracles has ceased. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of people believe that these, people still being raised from the dead and all this. I think in 1 Corinthians that tells us those things have ceased. And that's what if somebody tells me there's a miracle, I said, well, that's great. We'll go to the hospital and you can raise somebody from the dead because the apostles were able to do that. Next one. Blank is the upholding in existence of what already is. In other words, it's already been created. So this has to do with after it's created. So what's the word? People don't do this much anymore. People used to do this. They put them in mason jars. Preservation. So the word's preservation. Blank indicates that God controls all the physical universe. I think Tyler got this the last when we do scripture, right? There's some more scripture. All things work together for good to them that love. You hear the first part of that verse, but they don't go ahead and a lot of times finish it, which they should. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And then there's more to it with that. It adds to that love. And really the whole thing you got to look at, not just the very first words. And a lot of times that happens. We've got to love the Lord and we've got to obey him. All nations for all time owe their existence to God, capital G. Man, this one I think is kind of hard. Maybe you think others are too as well, but this one's hard. Man lives under the kind of a hard one to get, I think. I had to go back and review that one to make sure I knew it myself. Natural order. See how nature works. Things are born, things die. A man lives under the natural order, subject to all natural laws. If you jump off the cliff, you're going to get hurt. And consequences, blessings, accidents, suffering, and death. That's natural order. Okay. Next one is God plainly affirms that men should blank him. I think Joshua wrote something about this too. God plainly affirms that men should trust. Trust in God. Truth. Trust in truth. So that's trust. Since man has free will, it will always be somewhat puzzling to us how to properly integrate divine with free. So you got two words here. The course, subject to the course, providence. So the first one's providence. With what did God give man when he created him? Right, free will, free choice. You really could say free choice either way there. They'd both be right. So you think about that. Providence, he watches over us, but yet free will, we have free will too, and we can make the wrong choices, and then we're going to have to suffer the consequences if we do. And some people believe in, I'm just trying to think of the word they use for that. Anyway, that God controls everything we're going to do. And it's not really a free choice. Well, it is free choice. We sin, we freely chose to do that sin. Okay, here's a familiar verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is it's more than I think I heard somebody say it. Faithful?
Able.
That would work too. It's faithful. It was in there, but it's meaning the same thing, Ernie. Who will not allow you to be tempted. And this, there's two different words I saw used for this. So anything that's similar to this would be right. Yeah, tempted more, beyond, above. I think King James is tempted above. And a new King James, I think, had beyond. And more would work as well. More than you can take. What you are able, but with temptation will also make a, what kind of escape? A way to escape. That you may be able to bear it. Yeah, be able to take it. It's not going to be so much. He's going to have a way there, if you look for that way, to escape that and be able to take it to where you don't make the wrong choice. That's a good verse. And then they put in a couple other verses that are similar. I mean, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13, I believe. The constant goal in providential care is the two words here of the soul. That's another one. I think it's kind of hard to think what that is. The constant goal in providential care is the blank, blank of the soul. What are some attributes of the soul? What can you say about the soul? It is what? Created by God. He gives us that. And our souls go back to him when we die. And what about after that? They're eternal. So that's the first word. So The constant goal in providential care is the eternal what? I heard somebody say it's salvation. Yeah. Eternal salvation of the soul. That's so important to us. We want to go to heaven. The decision to sin is a blank we make. Right. That could be free will thing again. Free will or choice. Not only do blank teach that holy angels have access to this world, that they are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation, and that they guard and keep the Lord's people. That's mentioned in Hebrews 1:14 and also comes out of Psalms. So not only do both the Old Testament and New Testament, so it's Scripture there. Not only do Scriptures teach that holy angels have access to this world, they're also doing things here. Ministering spirits. Prayer. And its answer is based on the blank of God. Will. The will of God. That's what we pray for that too, if it's in God's will. Now Malachi 3:10, and this is just the last part of that verse in King James Version. Malachi 3:10, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blank, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So abundantly, God's going to pour out this blessing. So it's a blessing. It would complete that verse. Romans 8:26, a familiar one. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with, I do this in the mornings when I first get up, groanings. For us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't know what to say sometimes when we're praying to God, and He knows what we need better than we do. So maketh intercessions for us. The Spirit will, the Holy Spirit will make intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, that we can't utter, because we don't know what they know. Winkler, and that's a preacher, a preaching family. I know there was the father and at least two sons and maybe more, the Winkler family. He lists these in a book that he wrote here. Winkler lists five ways in which God answers prayers. Name them. So if you ask God for $1 million, what might He say? What might the answer be?
No.
So the first one's no. It's possible it's no. Second one's two words. It has to do with patience.
Maybe.
Yeah. Wait a while and see. Wait a while. The two words was wait a while. And that's maybe. Third one I wrote out for you, I will give you something different. You might be asking for $1 million, you might get something different. Fourth, the answer could be
yes.
It's possible it's yes, yes or no. And then the fifth thing was, I will give you more than you asked. So when we pray in the will of God, there's about five ways we could be answered. So I thought that was a nice list to think about. Some of these things we don't think much about, something new. So yes, no, wait a while. I will give you something different, or I will give you more than you asked for. And I've had that happen. Right.
A lot of people, if they had $1 million, it would separate them from God.
Yes. Yeah. He knows our needs, and he knows us better than we knew ourselves. Yeah, there's some tragic stories when you think about people that have come into a bunch of money, and it's changed them, and they didn't have a good life at all after that. Sometimes tragedy. Ephesians 3:20, King James Version. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we blank, according to the power that worketh in us. This is one of Larry Arnold's favorite verses. I remember him quoting that many times. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we blank, according to the power that worketh in us. Which goes back to that verse that James had. We do not receive because we do not ask. Okay, so above all that we ask, and the other thing is, or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Yeah, so ask or think. This one's James 1:5. If any one of you lack wisdom, good, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So wisdom, James 1:5. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the blank of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Right, knowledge on there. And I see that him there. Sometimes, I don't know, they miss that in verses. I think they really ought to, when it's speaking of God or Jesus, that should be capitalized there. Knowledge of him. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and this is what Dave just brought up, according to his will, he heareth us. So it's according. Now, 1 John 5:15, still King James Version. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the blank. And that kind of gets your mind, you got the word pet there. So it's not really a word that sounds like that when you pronounce it. Petitions that we desired of him. And wisdom is the proper application of
knowledge.
Yeah. So that's it. What is wisdom? Well, you got to have the knowledge first, and then a lot of times if you don't have the wisdom, it didn't work out. Even though you have knowledge, doesn't mean you're going to have wisdom. God hears us if we are obedient. We remain in Christ, and we pray in his name. So those are three things there. God hears us if these three things: obedient, we're in Christ, and we pray in his name. That's a point there. That last thing's something to bring up. I've heard people say, well, what's in a name? Especially when they're saying about the name of their church. What's in a name? Well, our prayers wouldn't be answered if we didn't pray in the name that we're told to. That's where the power comes from. We pray in Christ's name. So the name is very important. It's, you can't say it doesn't matter.
The name means everything.
Everything, absolutely. That's what's, it's, they're not thinking when they're, or they don't know the scripture. One or the other, they're just not thinking or don't know the scripture. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who are they talking about there? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. What, Dick? Yes, first man. By Adam and Eve's disobedience, we were all made sinners. That's where that man was put out of the garden, and man's going to die. So by the blank of one, and notice that one is capitalized, that's Christ. By blank of one shall many be made righteous. Who makes us righteous? Who forgives our sins? Christ. So by Christ's obedience, he went to the cross obediently because of the Heavenly Father. So by Christ's obedience, we are made righteous. If, again, faith and obedience. So that has to be in there. We have to be faithful and obedient. You hear that on television a lot about the faith, but you won't hear the word obedience after it very often. When we violate God's physical laws, we will suffer their physical what would that be? Right. Consequences. When we violate God's physical laws, we will suffer their physical consequences. And when we violate God's spiritual laws, we will suffer the spiritual as well as consequences as well. So it's true, if it's true here in this world, then it's going to be true spiritually in the things that we do there. Proverbs 3:24-26, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden death. Has to do with that, the first one there, of fear. You know, a lot of times we get shocked and we're afraid real quick. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy, I think I heard somebody say, confidence. Yeah, comfort would fit in there. It's the same type of meaning. The Lord's confidence, he gives us comfort, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So that's Proverbs 3:24-25. And that has to do with the questions that's coming up next. Mark 4:38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. So you see where that a sudden thing comes up. Something scares you real quick. And again, the he should have been capitalized. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that we have no faith? So why are you fearful? Why don't you have more faith? So he's talking to his apostles there in the ship when that storm came up. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time, right, was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So when the time was just right, that's when Christ came. So that's something to be important. The Bible tells us that God chose the best time for that. And that happened in the day of Pentecost. The gospel sermon came up, and that's when the church started next here. Any church established at any other time is not the church that belongs to Christ. That's people get angry over that when you say, well, Christ just has one church. But if you read the scripture, it started then, and if that was in A.D. 33, and if you ask in A.D. 50, what church do you belong to? They would wonder, why are you asking that? I've only heard of one. And just think how much simpler that would have been back then to do that too. There wasn't any of man's ideas wasn't in the things at that time. but not today. That's why I hear that so much from people. I'm confused with it. Everybody's telling me something different. Well, there you point them towards God's word, the scripture, and that. It's not confusing. The simplicity is in Christ. He did not bring all this confusion. That came from man. Okay, and we're at the end now. The last lesson that we had on providence was the plan of salvation. What is this plan of salvation? And I just pulled the one out here that most people have problems with. Again, they don't go to the scriptures. But we hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We believe it, John 8:24. Jesus said, if we don't believe in him, there's no way that we can be with God. Repent. We've got to change our lives. That's one that's not taught a whole lot. A lot of people don't repent and think they can get away with that. That's the other thing to point out in this. We just can't pick and choose in this. This is a whole plan of salvation. And as it says in Psalms, in that the entirety of the word, where Paul in Acts chapter 20, when he speaking to the elders, he said, I have revealed the whole plan to you. I've held back nothing. It goes something like that. I'm paraphrasing there. But he wanted the elders to know they have everything they need to know in order to be saved. And then we come to confession. That goes along really with the belief. You believe that Christ is the Son of God. And then finally the baptism, where we get so much resistance on that. And even the arguments about what is baptism. And that's explained in the Bible too. The New Testament explains what the baptism was back in the first century when they started that with Peter's first sermon. And then finally, and I think this is one that we'd want to put in with the plan of salvation every time. In this day and age, a lot of people think they come and be baptized, they're saved, and then that's it. And they walk out. And we've had that happen not too long ago, a few years ago, and didn't want to be a part of the church and didn't want to live that life. They just thought that they would get it by doing that one act, and it was over. So we need to do more teaching and looking at the scriptures about being faithful, and that God adds us to the church and expects us to be part of the church.
That faithful, it should also say into death.
Right. Right, unto death. And that would be the way of teaching that day, and that's the way the scripture says it. So, and I don't think we're going to have to worry about after after we are saved in heaven and that. I think that's going to be on our beliefs spiritually. It's hard for us to look at that and think what that would be like to be in heaven. But I think it'll be beyond our comprehension as human beings. Okay, that is the lesson on providence. And so I'm going to have a little time here. I'll see if I can find something else. If not, I'm going to have to do something else necessarily. I'm still thinking about different things. I'm looking at some of the things that's in the World Video Bible School or Gospel Broadcasting Network and some other things that we could do as far as teaching and things on Wednesday night. I would like probably for the rest of the month, I might go to some of the videos, and then we'll decide the first Wednesday in December, maybe. We'll go to something, we get on, we'll talk it over with Ernie and Tom and see where we go after that. If you got any suggestions about what you'd like to study, maybe tell one of us about that. Any comments about providence? It has been a very good study. I'd suggest you keep your notes. You might have someone talking to you about it someday, and you can bring up a lot of points that he brought in there. You go back through the way he's got it in an outline and just look at the main points, and a lot of these things will come back to you. The kids come in. If we have some kids tonight, we'll look at squirrels. I've been seeing a lot of squirrels lately. They're burying their nuts and getting ready for a bad winter. This came out, I think, last month. This thing is showing up there. Your first 40 days in the wilderness, and they named it that. That's right after someone becomes a Christian. First principle lessons for new Christians. I'm going to look at one of those for a few minutes here until the children come in. Let me read down through these. Something catches your ear, let me know. Day one, what must I do after baptism, which David talked about. Every Christian has a responsibility. Characteristics of a mature Christian. Characteristics of a mature Christian, part two. Must bear fruit. Christians must bear fruit. Bearing of the fruit of the Spirit, part one and part two. Part three, you must add to your faith, part one and part two, learning to function within the body, that would be within the church. Where is Jesus in this? Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the importance of authority, the authority of the Bible, how we got the Bible, rightly dividing the word. Why do we have the Old Testament? You can understand the Bible. How do you know the Bible applies to us? Identifying the Lord's one true church. The word church. Why are there so many churches? Why are there so many churches? Part two and part three. The kingdom is already here. When and where do the kingdom come? Did the kingdom come? Who is the head of the church? How is the church organized? The mission and work of the church. True worship of the church. The Lord's Supper, singing or instruments in worship, and I just lost it. Who's the head of the church? How is the church organized? The mission and work of the church, true worship. We did that. Prayers. Prayer, the offering. Why preach? Is attending worship necessary? That sounds interesting. That Godhead, scheme of redemption, and day 40, much more to learn. And notice each one of these, I don't know whether you can see that, the time on those, most of those were right around 5 minutes. So they don't take very long. That would be something we might take a look at, some of those. I heard the first bell, so I don't think I'll even get into that tonight. Tom and Mary didn't think they could get back. They were down at Amy's today, so we'll get ready for that. Thank you for your participation. I think you did well on it. I think we've all learned things. I chose squirrels tonight. Lately, I've seen a lot of squirrels out burying nuts and getting ready for the winter. I'll tell you what I did. I thought this walnut tree out here, and they run over them and mash them and everything out here. I thought, you know, squirrels really like those, probably better than the bird seed. And I'm going to pick some of those up. I was bringing my brother up here for therapy. I had an hour every time we came, so I started picking them up. And I picked up, let's see how many is it at this point, 350 walnuts. I brought them home, spread them out on the yard, and I was going to run over them with a lawnmower or something, take the hulls off, and then put them away in 5-gallon buckets for winter. Well, I got busy and doing other things day after day, and I went out there, and the squirrel, I saw them carrying them away. I thought, well, they can bury a few. I went out there, and I think there was about 50 left out of 350 walnuts, black walnuts. They'd buried them all over. Now, next spring, they don't find all of them, so next spring I'll have walnut trees coming up every place. So, but hopefully they'll still be able to dig them up all winter long. That's why I chose squirrels tonight. They are interesting. All these animals are fantastic. Due to copyright restrictions, we are not permitted to play audio of the video presented during Bible study. Please click on the video embedded in this page to follow along with this evening's study. So that was amazing. So I guess we could say if we had a memory like a squirrel, we'd be pretty smart. So. What do you say, 80% of those nuts they're going to be able to find? This is something Marcia hears all the time. Marcia, where's my keys? So that happens. 39. This is a beautiful song that has to do with providence, I believe, and we'll sing the first and last verse of this. 3:9, be not dismayed, whatever betide. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will hear from you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take. If you're able. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee this time for Thy blessings. We thank You, Father, for the gift of being able to study Your divine word and learn of Your providence, Your watching over us and Your care. We pray, Father, that we might always be mindful of it, that as we've learned in these lessons not to be fearful, that You are always there. We pray, Father, that You'd help us to learn and apply those things we've learned from these lessons, that we would be faithful and obedient to Your word. We pray that we might grow and become better servants for thee as life goes by and the things that you bless us with, Father. We're so happy to realize that we have a Savior that was willing to suffer and die upon that cross for our sins. We have the great hope that we have of someday living in that place of eternity for the soul with thee together as your church, Father. We pray now that you'd guide us in the things that we do in worship services that would be always be well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. See, for the invitation song, 554. You can mark that, and then Ernie.
The song Jim just led us in, God will take care of us. He has taken care of us. We sinned against God, and he took care of that problem. He sent his son to die for us, to give us a free ticket to heaven. To take advantage of that free ticket, we do have to take God's grace that he has given us and showed to us, and proclaim it that his son, Jesus, was his son. He died on the tree for us, a cross for us, and his great love has saved us. Tonight, if anyone has any need, I'd ask you to please come forward as Jim leads us in song.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains our lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
Couple of announcements from Sunday. As everyone knows, tonight we start at 6:30 tonight. Upcoming changes on November, on Tuesday the 26th, we will have Bible study. That's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Then in December 26th, the day after Christmas, we will have Bible study. Then on the 31st, we're planning to have a New Year's Eve potluck and devotional. So that's how we will be handling the services the next month, I should say. Make sure you get a bulletin. There's also the card shower for Bob Lanning. I'm sure he'd appreciate a card from everyone. Also today I got a flyer here from the Zanesville Church of Christ on the West Pike. They're having a weekend themed Giving Thanks Always for All Things with Patrick Gamp. That'll be Saturday, November 23rd, Sunday the 24th. That's, like I say, I'll put this on the back on the bulletin board. Is there anything else that needs to be announced I don't know about, should know about?
I might give you an update on Bob. He went to Columbus, got a scan today, and he had five tumors. Two of them are down to where one of them they can't find, the other one is minute, which is great news. The other three shrank 80%. He's in a trial. This is just experimental. The doctor told him that's great news, but he still has the cancer. But that therapy is working. But with him, the doctor said he'd never seen anyone that had their immune system, I don't know what to call it, destroyed or what, but the immune system is attacking his body. And he barely can walk now. Has a difficult time even getting his foot up to go up steps or in the car. So they're trying to work to get that stopped. So far they haven't been able to do that. He wanted to try this. They told him there wasn't anything else, so he tried this trial that was going in. So it might give him a few more years, maybe. We'll see how that works. But I'm going to give you an update on that. And what people go through with cancer is it's difficult to watch a loved one in that. That's everything I have on it. If that's all, I think, Dave, you had the closing prayer tonight, did you? Okay.
Dear God, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord. For this time, Lord, we have come here to worship thee, Lord. So proud, Lord, to proclaim, Lord, you are the true living God. Lord, you're the one that we want to look for guidance each day of our life, Lord. Lord, and we pray, Lord, that we'd always do your will, Lord. Lord, and I pray, Lord, for this church, Lord, that it would grow, Lord, as you would see fit, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would work towards trying to bring the lost in before it's too late, Lord. And Lord, and we pray for those that's sick among us, Lord. Lord, those that's spiritually, and Lord, and those that's physical, Lord. Lord, that you would touch each and every one of them, Lord, and help them and strengthen them in the way that they need to be, Lord. So thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us down through this week, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we go home, Lord, we would take ye with us, Lord, and we would live a life pleasing unto thee, Lord, and the word that you have given us, Lord. So thankful, Lord, for your many blessings upon each and every one of us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.